Now, as Barbara just was mentioning, one of the major concerns in this election is foreign interference. Indeed, Russia, Iran and China have all been accused of meddling and attempting to undermine the democratic process. But how do they do it? And what might they attempt to gain from it? Defence and security analyst Michael Clarke is a visiting professor at King's College London.
It's pretty clear that Russia is behind a lot of the cyber mischief which takes place across the Western world and is certainly accused of playing games in the American election. But also Iran, North Korea have been named as countries which are also trying to manipulate voters thinking in the election by using cyber hacking and false images and false stories and so on. China also has a shadowy role behind all of this, but is also believed to be a sort of malign influence in trying to affect the way the elections actually take place.
Are these actors actually doing it, or are they just providing the environment that's propitious for doing it? Russia classically breaks all of our copyright rules, etc., because it puts itself into an unpredatable position electronically. So are they actually behind this, these countries, or just providing an environment where hackers who want to do this can go and do it with impunity?
They're doing both. The Russians in particular set up quite a lot of private groups that are state-sponsored in effect. They pay for them and they just let them get on with it. And those groups are up to all sorts of mischief. But they also do it directly themselves, and they've admitted it. They denied for years that they had anything to do with the 2016 American election. And then Prigozhin, who was the leader of the Wagner group, then boasted about it before he was killed by Putin, which they thought would help President Trump become elected. Now, whether they did help him or not is still a matter of dispute, but it is certainly what they were trying to do, and they've admitted it.
And what exactly were they trying to do, and what did they do?
Well, it comes in different forms. So one thing is to identify using artificial intelligence, using AI to scrape information from lots of sources that, you know, people, their shopping habits, the films they see, the things they download on television. All of that helps to build up a profile of somebody. And they looked at the profiles of people, particularly in the swing states, the states that really matter, where a few thousand votes either way will determine the outcome. And they identified people who were a particular don't-knows, if you like, but were more inclined to be Republican, more inclined to be right-wing. And they fed them stories. Some of them were true, some of them were completely untrue. But they reinforced their feelings through stories and through giving them a sense of anger to tip them over to Republican voters, away from the Democrats towards the Republicans. That's what they tended to do. We don't really know how effective it was, but they certainly did it.
Do they actually have a preferred candidate? Because you're saying that they wanted to tip things one way or the other. Did they really have an aim in mind, or was the intention just to be disruptive and undermine America, undermine democracy, and therefore destabilize an economy and gain an advantage that way?
Countries like Iran, North Korea, and also China have a more general intention, I think, to destabilise democracy and to, in their view, expose how weak democracy actually is, how difficult it is to make anything happen in a democracy. They have a general view. But Russia, under Putin, very clearly wanted Donald Trump to be elected in 2016, absolutely wants Donald Trump to be elected this time round, because the Russian view is that they'll get a free hand from a Donald Trump presidency to do what they want in Ukraine and in other parts of the world. Putin wants a grand summit with President Trump sometime next year. So if Trump is elected, there'll be a grand summit in the old style Cold War summit of the two big Cold War leaders meeting to determine what the outcome will be for the rest of the world. That's what he wants. He won't get that with Kamala Harris if she's elected, but he will get it with President Trump if Trump is re-elected as president. And the Russians have a very clear interest in seeing a Trump presidency next year.
Presumably, in this era, the technology we now avail ourselves of has made this sort of thing far easier and far more commonplace. We love all of the convenience of this connected world, but in fact it comes with quite a cost.
Elections have always been subject to attempts at interference from the outside. It usually didn't make much difference, and it used to involve newspapers and radio and television and so on. The difference now is the degree of penetration the degree to which somebody outside can find out exactly who you are, what you like, what you dislike, what really motivates you, what makes you angry, and they can play on that by very, very targeted material.
Can we stop it?
We can't stop it. It's a phenomenon of modern politics and the modern world. We can only understand it better. And so the focus is on helping democracies to be more aware of this and to, in a sense, to grow up. We've got to be more mature. So we've got to recognize it when it happens. And the need for democracies to be far better informed and to have a sense of mainstream truth. That's what we lack these days. I mean, you know, where do you go for your truth? Do you go to the BBC News or to Sky News or ITV News? We'd like to think people do, but by and large, they don't. Unless society has a series of avenues of truth, mainstream truth that people go to when they're not sure, unless they have that, then they'll be much more easily manipulated.
Do you think it's enough to swing an election?
Well, I think we now live in an era where elections can be swung if they're close. In an election which is not particularly close, say as the British general election was, I don't think anything would have made much difference to the outcome of that election, because it was a real swing of the pendulum in Britain after 14 years of a Conservative government. But where elections are close, and my goodness, this is the closest American election for generations, then of course these things can swing an election. It's happened before in America. The 1960 election that brought John Kennedy into power was very, very close. And there were lots of accusations that that election was swung in ways that were illegitimate. And that's been a continuing gripe in American politics really ever since. So it does happen. But this election in 2024 is closer than anyone in alive today can ever remember.
Indeed. But time will tell, of course. That was Michael Clark there. And talking of time, that is it for this week. But in parting, no matter what country you find yourself to be in, do be vigilant for falsified or exaggerated claims. Ask yourself if any outlet might have an agenda behind their reporting stance, and wherever possible, always exercise your democratic right to vote.